The Ukrainian ambassador to Ireland is calling on both Ireland and the EU to immediately impose sanctions on Russia and not to wait for an invasion. Larissa Garasco said that Ukraine is expecting a full-scale invasion by Russia, with the Kremlin moving more troops and equipment close to her country's border. I think that number is around 100,000 troops there at the moment. Meanwhile, our Minister for Foreign Affairs, Simon Coveney, has said the situation between Ukraine and Russia is enormously serious, with Irish citizens being warned against non-essential travel to Ukraine. So to get a sense of just how seriously Ukrainian citizens are taking the recent moves by their much larger next-door neighbour, we are joined by Lena Madden, who's grew up in Ukraine but has been living in Ennis for the last 15 or 16 years. Good morning to you, Lena.
Good morning, Alan.
Thanks very much for being with us. And I guess, look, you know, here in Ireland, we're all concerned about Russian naval ships being 240 kilometres off our coast and carrying out training exercises, or imminently carrying out training exercises. But from your point of view and your compatriots' point of view, the situation could potentially be a lot worse than that. Do you still have family based in Ukraine, Lena?
Yes, my parents, they live separately, but they live in different parts of Ukraine. And actually, my dad is staying with me currently, just came for holidays for a couple of months. And it depends on who you ask in Ukraine, you know. So some people are very concerned, some people are very scared, and the other people think that it's all, you know, that is all nonsense. So it depends who you ask, because Ukraine could be quite divided on topic.
Yeah, and you mentioned that use the word divided there, and I guess would that apply to divided loyalties in Ukraine, between Ukraine and Russia, depending on where you live? Because of course there would be a lot of ethnic Russians living throughout Ukraine. You know, like, for example, in Donetsk, they're the largest ethnic group, and perhaps those people would be more sympathetic to the Russian side of any potential debate or argument.
It's not really depends on ethnicity, because we all are, well, we're Ukrainians, well, are Ukrainians, and I am from Donetsk, but I always, my dad, my mom, both from Donetsk, but even between them, there is a big divide, and it all depends on what source of media do you listen. That's very important, and brings the importance of the media and the free media in the world. So, it's historically the best television programs always came from central, from USSR, and that is from Moscow. So by inertia, still many people are listening to Russian radio and television, where there is of course enormous amount of anti-Ukrainian propaganda happening. So that what is divide, but within the Ukraine, it could be, you don't have to be Ukrainian or Russian ethnicity. It's just what it is.
Okay. And in terms of your parents, you mentioned they've differing views on it. Do you mind me asking what their stance is on the situation between Ukraine and Russia?
My mom, she listens a lot of Russian television. She considers herself Russian, so she thinks that it's not nonsense, and Russia can do nothing wrong. On the other hand, my dad, he is Ukrainian, and he's very patriotic about his country. When the uprising happened in 2014, he was sending money and clothes, warm clothes, to the people protesting against the government back then. So he would have different views, and he would be quite concerned about the situation. They all following news and listening to every single statement made by every single leader in the world to determine and try to understand what is happening.
So
there's a lot of concern.
Yeah, so your dad very much backs Ukraine, he's Ukrainian, but you mentioned your mother sees herself as Russian, and I suppose it depends. You mentioned there's a big Russian influence in terms of the media coming in. Is there kind of a nostalgia for the Soviet Union? I mean, Russia is obviously a big player on the world stage, and it's a massive country, but it was even larger when it included all the now former Soviet states, such as Ukraine and Moldova and Estonia, Lithuania, Latvia and all that. Is she nostalgic for a Soviet Union that was one of the two world superpowers along with the US back in the, you know, 50s, 60s, 70s and 80s?
Yes, that's absolutely what it is, because she's in her 70s now and 70s, and Soviet Union on that stage, you know, everybody were equal and nobody had rights. Everybody had the same amount of money and the same opportunities. So she feels, and many people feel, that they were more protected at the time of Soviet Union, especially as pensioners. So yeah, there is some of that nostalgia. And that what is driving, but also there is enormous amount of propaganda, anti-Ukrainian propaganda that is happening in the Russian media, because Ukrainians are being portrayed as Nazis, you know, and that is the biggest threat to anyone who USSR was a big part of Second World War, and that is the biggest threat and the biggest kind of label or taboo in for the people of all former republics. So when you call somebody Nazis, and doesn't matter how on ground or invalid your argument is, if you've been confident in arguing that, you will persuade goods of 200 million that what it is.
Yeah, a dangerous word to throw about, but as you say, it can be effective. You mentioned 2014 earlier, Lena. That was obviously the year when the counter-revolution in the Donbass region was kick-started by anti-government protests. The following month in March led to Russia invading and annexing Crimea at the southern end of Ukraine, which was majority Russian in Crimea, but nevertheless was part of Ukraine. How did your parents feel around that? I'm sure it was a very uncertain time in Ukraine, having part of the country annexed, but, you know, how do they feel about it?
Well, my mom lost everything in that war. The house got destroyed by the martyr, and she had to relocate to different place in Ukraine, different area of Ukraine, not in Russia, however, but she still thinks that it's Ukrainians' fault that all of her life got destroyed. While my dad, he always lived in different parts of Ukraine, and as I said, he was supporting the uprising on that stage. So again, it's all very divided.
I mentioned, Lena, there's around 100,000 Russian troops concentrated along your country's border. They've been amassing that number since March of last year. Does it feel inevitable to you, and perhaps your dad as well, that Russia will ultimately invade? I mean, I'm sure it can't be easy for people, you know, living with the threat of invasion hanging over them for such a long amount of time.
I don't think people feel this inevitability as given. However, among the Ukrainians, there is they don't know what to expect from Putin, because everybody consider him, you know, out of control and crazy person who doesn't do negotiations or politics and just can do things on the whim, plotting. He's former KGB officer, so there's a lot of underground things happening that we don't even know about. But at the same time, from what I can see from Ukrainian television that I watch it every now and then, Ukrainians are preparing, the mentally ready, and they say, whichever happens, whichever comes to us, we're going to stand up and protect our country. So that's the basic. But no, there is no as such feeling of inevitability of the war happening. They still hope that all of this is going to be blown over.
You are in Ireland a long time, but is it difficult for you watching events from afar?
You know, after so many years, from 2014, how many years is that? It's 8 years now. It's kind of you getting more you grow calluses around yourself. The 2014 war was affecting me a lot. I was quite worried because specifically because my situation happened to my mom. But on this stage, it's kind of people used to living in this situation, and they prepared mentally, and so I am. I just think that the U.S., they must support Ukraine because Ukraine is an independent country. And when Ukraine was at the time of breaking down Soviet Union, when Ukraine was giving up their nuclear power, there was a joint communique signed by NATO and many big players in NATO saying that if any invasion happened to Ukraine, they're going to protect Ukraine. So I think the countries, regardless of their energy necessities, need to stand up and basically stand to their words and do what they promised.
You mentioned Putin, and he likes to be seen, Vladimir Putin, as very much he projects a very macho image. We see all those pictures of him riding naked from the waist up on horses and trying to show himself as a strong man, and he likes to be seen as a strong man on the world stage, particularly when dealing with the West. He doesn't seem like the type who, having come this far, will back down. I see there will be talks next month between Ukraine and Russia. Whether that's all for show remains to be seen. What do you think it's going to take, Lena, to de-escalate the situation, for Putin to come out with a satisfactory outcome in which he doesn't look as if he's withdrawn his troops and, you know, had to put his tail between his legs?
I don't think there anything could be said or done. I don't believe there is a reasoning with that man. He has his plans, and his plans already made. And whatever is happening at the moment is just the mouse play in the background. So, and that's what the danger. You can say and do anything, but if he wanted Crimea for at least 20 years before he annexed it. Okay, and now there is an area between the occupied Donbas and Crimea that is vital importance for Russia. It's a small region that they want, and if anything happens, I think it's going to happen in that specific region rather than in the whole wide country. You know, because that will create corridor between Russia and Crimea. So, Crimea was his dream. From the day he became president, it always was in the cards. So, and look what happened now. So maybe not now, maybe 10 years, 20, but he will find the situation and make excuses to go and move in there.
Yeah, and certainly he's been in power in Russia for so long, you wouldn't put it past him to be still the president in 20 years' time. Lena, thank you so much for joining us and giving us your perspective on Morning Focus. Appreciate your time.
No problem, Alan. Thank you.
That's Lena Madden, who grew up in Ukraine and has been living in Ennis since 2006.